And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, December 7th, 2013. This is Season 7. This is Season 7, Episode 43. I'm Scott.
I'm Matt.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm RJ.
God, get it together. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat, as well as on Facebook. And you can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming the cam feed right now through twitch.tv, and you can find us there as well as join in the chat room live while we broadcast. And as much as that little fumble of words was, it still didn't make me feel as bad as watching some of the things we've seen on the VGXs so far. It's pretty
terrible, even with the sound turned down.
Yeah, we got the sound turned down, at least for the broadcast now. We had it up before we started broadcasting. But the fact that this is being streamed live on a multitude of, they're streaming it on Twitch. We're watching it through the Xbox 360 I brought in. They're showing Destiny right now. But even though they're showing all this and it's streamed, they're not censoring any of that stuff. And so we have to be careful. So we're keeping the sound down on this one. Anyway, welcome to the show. Welcome, everybody, in the chat room. Glad to have you with us. We are, as we said, watching the VGXs as they happen. This is... not really a tradition, and one we hope doesn't become one, because it's a little hard to do. It's hard to do even when you're not talking about it. Just watching it, it's kind of embarrassing, I think. They're not doing it on TV this time. So obviously a larger amount of just regular public are not being able to see this. It's not airing on Spike. It's only being streamed. Spike will air highlights in a one-hour program on Monday night.
Okay.
So they'll take 3 hours and condense it down to 1 hour of highlights. They have their work cut out for them. Yeah.
Now, why is it being streamed? Is it because it was so bad last year that they decided to cut it down for this one?
You know, I don't know exactly what the reason was on that. They do every year, at least for the past, 4 or 5 years, I would say. And they've been doing it for, over 10 years, I think, now.
I hardly ever watch them. I mean,
yeah,
the first experience I had with it was when I watched it at your house and I had to leave early.
Right.
Because of it.
So, it was pretty bad then.
Yeah.
Well, now it's just bad in a different way.
It can only mean that the ratings haven't been what they needed to be to keep funding what they were doing. Because if it were successful, they would have continued to do it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah, it's I don't know that it was ratings bad that they switched this, but like I said, the VGAs, VGXs, whatever they want to be called now, have always tried to, like, every time they do one, the aftermath is, God, this was horrible, you guys are doing it wrong, you're not doing it right, but so they take that and then they try and revamp it and do it, and every year, some talking head of someone associated with either Spike or Game Trailers or whoever's doing it will say, no, we listen to your feedback, it's different, and it never is. So then they do this. Then they do this thing where it almost seems like, yeah, we're getting rid of the live audience, we're getting rid of that live setting, so we don't have to do the celebrity stuff, we don't have to appeal to the mass audience of cable television.
Right.
So we don't have to bring in names that, we can talk to the developers, which they talked to Reggie from Nintendo, that was also bad. But it gave them a sense of, and it gave them as much time as they wanted. So they're doing it for 3 hours. No commercials. So they got to fill the entire 3 hours.
With awkward conversations.
You didn't even see the beginning.
I wish I had now.
Man, you didn't see the beginning. So this time it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's going to be completely different. We got rid of the audience. We can do what we want on this. We're going to push it more towards the thing that works, which is showing off the world premieres. And I agree that does work. It's one of the reasons, only the reason that I watch it is because of seeing some of those world premieres. And I watch it live just so we can comment on it on the show. Otherwise, I'd tape it and just skip through what I didn't want to skip through. Or, even better, wait until after the show and then just go and find them online and watch your own highlights. Watch the stuff that you just want to see. Mm-hmm. So they said they were going to change it up, and they haven't. It's still... This looks interesting with the sound off. They're doing a...
It's a King Kong competition. Donkey Kong.
Good Lord.
Wow, sorry.
Maybe you should leave.
It's a big monkey.
So, while the Donkey Kong little vignette is going on.
You know we do video games on this show, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just checking. I thought maybe you forgot.
Sometimes I wonder. But yeah, so they're doing a Donkey Kong thing. This looks the most professional thing that they've done so far. And they've done a couple of things, and it's been very bad. But, okay, I might take it back. I don't know.
Well, it's, what they're covering is a rivalry between the two top Donkey Kong players competing for the world high score. And while that's certainly very interesting and probably, you know, worthy of its own show or story, I wonder what it exactly it's doing on an award show.
It's a 3-hour award show with no commercials.
Yeah, but so if you're doing a 3-hour award show with no commercials, you should be doing it because you've got enough content relative to those awards to do a 3-hour award show with no commercials. You don't just decide, hey, we're going to fill 3 hours, but we don't have enough award show stuff. So what can we come up with? Like
that would be assuming they've been doing it right all this time.
Well, if you're going to talk about Donkey Kong, you're going to have Billy Mitchell in it.
Yeah, I think I saw the other guy, Steve, there too.
But Weeb? Something like that? Yeah. Anyway, so the VGAs are going on. The thing that they've announced so far, they've done some world premieres. The Quantum Break was one, although from what I can tell, there was very little new footage that they showed. They did talk some about it, but as far as the footage, very, very little was brand new. They announced during the pre-show, they had a 15-minute interview with Eidos Montreal and talked about Thief. Gave a release date on that, which is February 25th of next year. The very first thing that they premiered was a trailer for something that was completely unannounced, was Tales from the Borderlands. It's a Telltale Game and Gearbox collaboration.
That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it's a Telltale series.
Episodic.
Is what it is. It didn't say episodic. I'm sure it is.
That seems to be what they do, though.
But just like all of their other games that are title and then a series from Telltale Games, or a Telltale Game series is what it was called. Not really a subtitle, but under the heading of the title. So I would think it's probably episodic. It's really what they do and what they do well. So
after several games, I've come to trust that Telltale can tell a tale. They're adept storytellers.
Yeah.
And the Borderlands
and the Borderlands universe
is really interesting and compelling. But it's a bit shallow in telling its own story in that universe. Also, I haven't, you know, playing with all you guys is pretty much impossible, and I don't want to play it by myself. So, being able to experience it through a Telltale game, single player, you know, adventure style, that's a place I would like to spend some time.
Yeah,
I'm in for that.
Plorch is in the chat room saying, "I've been watching the VGX stream for 73 minutes now, and I can honestly say I have no cringe left in me." They've still got another 2 hours to go, Plorch. You'll find that cringe. They'll help you to find that cringe.
I find it interesting that within the first hour, they already gave out, the Game of the Year award?
They gave out the Game of the Year award. That went to GTA 5.
Isn't that usually something that you would leave, like for most award shows, like, you know, the Oscars and stuff like that, you wait till like, the very last award will be Movie of the Year.
For the most part, I don't know who watches this for the awards anymore.
True.
I think the very first year, I think a lot of people did watch it for the awards in probably the first couple of years. But what this turned into was this point in between your new game releases in November and E3. In between that time, obviously it's at the end of the year, but something where new games could be revealed and announced and that sort of thing on a much bigger platform than just releasing something to the internet through a PR email or something like that. So
true.
That's what it's turned into, is a platform for advertisement of your game. And, you know, I know advertisement can be a dirty word sometimes, but, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's just advertising for games. And that's fine. I'm all about seeing new footage of games. I wanted to see new footage of Quantum Break. Really did. I am more than interested for Tales of from the Borderlands to figure out what that is. And to see how well that goes. I don't care who
wins what award.
Character of the year is.
Yeah.
That doesn't interest me. And then what was the other ones that they've had done so far? Best sports game.
Sports game of the year.
That went to what, NBA 2K14?
Yeah.
Yes.
What was the other one they did?
Action.
Action adventure game went to Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, with nominees of GTA 5, which won Game of the Year, Tomb Raider, which was another one, which was also nominated for Action Adventure and Game of the Year, and lost out for that. The other thing that they're doing differently here is that they've let the winners know ahead of time that they've won, so that they can come in and either do the acceptance there, where they're filming or where they're doing this at, is which is in Los Angeles, or they have time to put something together to win with, instead of just bringing them up on stage, spur of the moment, hey, you won, that sort of situation. So from what we can tell, we were talking about this before the show. Jeremy was reading, I guess, tweets.
It was from Reddit.
Reddit, yeah. Comments from Reddit about how probably worse it was that they went this way.
Yeah.
You know, and we said that in trying to elevate this, or at least elevate it out of the crap that it was in the previous years, they've revealed a new layer of cringe.
Well, their jokes are still really, really bad.
Of awkward. Yeah, yeah. But
at least before, you had the pleasure of like them panning to the audience and seeing them suffering too. Now it's just not, you know, it's just the people on stage and that's it.
It's just more awkward when they make bad jokes and there's no one there to appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You even mentioned the canned laughter they put in earlier, which made it even
more
awkward.
Did they have going on?
That struck me as strange.
Was like, it South Park or one of the videos?
They announced an award. And, like, the little animation comes up showing the award name, and there's, like, canned crowd applause and stuff, and then the animation stops and shows the guy sitting on the couch, and it's quiet.
Yeah.
Like, their bumpers were designed for a crowd, but there's no crowd.
Yeah, that canned laughter cut off quick.
Weird.
I mean, I think I've got a sound effect and an applause somewhere that I could play, but we wouldn't deserve it whatsoever. Anyway. So now they're talking to Tim Schafer. I guess he's talking to, I don't know exactly what he's talking about. Again, we've got it muted here. So
he's talking about his new game, Dark Age.
No idea. Hopefully somebody
it's
in the chat
room can tell us. This is the Kickstarter
game. This is the Kickstarter game? This is the one that you asked for more money from, or the second Kickstarter game?
The first one. Yeah, the first. This is the one that I backed.
This is the one you backed. Okay.
Yes.
Well, hopefully in this little discussion we'll get a release date or some kind of information about what's going to happen to it. But anyway, welcome to the show again. It's 18 minutes into it, and we're still talking about the VGXs. Tomb Raider Definitive Edition was announced. Definitive Edition was announced. That is, as best I can tell, it was remade, redone for the two
new consoles,
PS4 and for the Xbox One, and I think it'll get a PC release as well, but a lot of people who've played the PC version seem to already feel like they've played the Definitive Edition. It will come with all the DLC and stuff with it when it releases.
Wasn't the DLC just like multiplayer stuff for the most part?
I cannot remember.
I don't think I got any
I didn't get any of it, so I don't know. I think because most of it was multiplayer stuff, I wasn't interested in it. Plus, I didn't pick it up on PC. I rented it for the consoles, and that's where I played it.
Okay.
And I can tell you, I mean, obviously, not to diminish, you know, the hard work people put into those things, but that'd be a game I would pick up on a cheap Steam sale.
Oh, definitely.
And maybe play it. Maybe. Because I've already played through it. I'm not one to go back and play through games. I'm really not. Once I'm done with it, once I've finished it. If I haven't finished it, yeah, I'm more prone to picking it back up and starting it again. But if I finish the game, I hardly ever have any interest in going back and picking it up. By the way, Matt, you're seeing what I can only imagine is the first videos from this game that you've put money into.
Yes.
What do you think of it? Just, again, we were on mute. We have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, just going by the visuals, I like the art style. It's very... it looks like a drawn book, kind of like a children's novel to me. Yeah, Broken Age, that's it. But I'm interested. I'm excited. It's like I said, I've backed 4 games through Kickstarter. One of them has, you know, finally came to me earlier this week, Tuesday, the Broken Sword. The first episode of it came out. And so I'm excited about that. And yeah, this will be hopefully they'll get this one done eventually as well.
Well, enough about those. If anything else should pop up on the VGXs, we will let you know about any kind of world premieres or anything like that, little trailers and stuff. Because, again, I was really surprised by Tales from the Borderlands. Those are the kind of surprises that I want from things like this.
Or new footage, stuff that you haven't seen yet.
Even new footage would be great. So, anyway, Matt, what have you been playing lately? Still doing your Assassin's Creed 4? You're playing
GTA
5. 5.
Yeah, I've been just hammering away at GTA 5. Playing that one, and also the Zelda on the DS, the 3DS.
Link Between Worlds?
Yes.
How is that?
I'm really enjoying it.
I think James was very close to actually picking that up.
Okay.
You
should let him borrow your 3DS.
He was thinking about picking up the bundle.
Oh, I like the bundle because the 3DS itself looks really nice, with the gold and the
Was that your first Triforce. 3DS? Was that your first one?
Game?
No, your first 3DS. Did you get the bundle?
Oh, no.
Oh, you didn't get the bundle. I see.
No,
what you're saying.
I've had a...
I thought you had picked up the bundle. No, James had been talking about it, and he is not here with us again, but he had been talking about there was apparently a Black Friday deal going on with it.
Oh, okay.
And he was very close to picking it up for Black Friday. But
it feels like old Link to the Past, so I really enjoy it.
Maybe that's why he was so interested with it.
Because, I mean, it's the sequel to it, so...
But GTA 5, where are you?
I guess, spoilers, people listening, it's kind of a little older, I'm late to the game on this one.
Been out a while, yeah.
Yeah, but I just did a bank heist out in Sandy Shores, so I have all three characters accessible. I've been running around just doing some of the different things. I've already had, the Trevor crashing in the airplane into the bigger airplane and it going down. And
oh, wow, yeah, okay,
so,
I remember that.
Yeah, I guess with these, you could sort of do them not necessarily in order, but, there's kind of an order in which they could go.
Well, the main story, I think you pretty much do in order.
Okay.
The main plot of the game, that sort of stuff, the main storylines and stuff, that goes, as far as I can tell, that goes in order. I think you can do...
Ripping off stuff for the G-Men.
Yeah. See, the side things are different. Yeah, it depends on that, but everything else, I think... as far as the main storyline, all follows a linear progression. You can't do one ahead of the other because it just wouldn't fit in the story. So.
I tried my hand a little bit at the stock market in that, but I just keep on losing money.
I never understood it. The only time I understand it is when, and I'll give you a tip now, and it may be too late, but...
Is it the assassin missions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know about do them last?
I did one just
right,
to start
you
off.
Have to do one. You have
but,
to do one.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Save it until after you have the game. That way you could soak all your money in and get lots and lots of money afterwards.
Yeah, definitely do that, though. So yeah, I'm glad you discovered that. I had done two of the missions before I found out about that. But yeah, you'll get a lot of money towards the end. Although not that it matters because I'm not playing it. I beat it, and I did that little trick to get the most money, but... I haven't done anything with the money that I got, so.
I just bought the sub beach location, where you could get the little submarine.
Mm-hmm.
So I just purchased that. So now I have sub missions that I could do.
I didn't buy any property.
Oh, really?
I didn't buy any property.
I have that in a hangar. That's all I have.
Unless you were forced to do it, I didn't buy any of the property. And it was mainly because it was one of those situations where it's like, well, let me save up my money.
Yeah,
because buying this right now will just wipe me out. So save it up. I'll purchase it later. Situation. But yeah. Let's see. I've been playing Assassin's Creed 4. That's all I've been playing. You haven't put any more time into that, Matt?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going to try and get through GTA 5 before I start on that one.
That's fine. You going to play Beyond Two Souls?
I'll probably get that when it goes down in price.
You rent it.
Yeah, I guess I could. Redbox it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I got it.
That's exactly how all of us actually played it.
Okay.
We went ahead and we rented the title.
Whereas I really, really enjoyed Last of Us, this one just seems more of a rental.
Yeah. Well, no, it did for us as well. And it's one of those things where, in fact, Beyond Two Souls is the last game I played on current-gen systems for me. So,
okay.
Yeah. When did you leave? When did you head out? Last year, this past
June?
Year. Was it in June? Had 400 Days come out? Dead Rising? Or Dead Walking Dead?
Actually, I picked it up. I picked it up while I was gone in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I did play through that.
Again, we've got all this backlog to talk with you about because we haven't had you in the studio to talk about it. What did you think about that?
I enjoyed it. I like the way the stories just sort of interwove together, and the ending was definitely interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's real quick.
Yeah.
And that was something I played through multiple times. I will say that games like Telltale's games will...
You can.
I'll actually... episodic. It's short. Doesn't take much time. And it has variations.
It was about... I would think the entirety is basically about the same length as one episode of The Walking Dead. Maybe a little bit shorter, but, you know.
Yeah, I played those in a marathon. I'm not exactly sure how long they actually were. But episodic gaming, stuff like that, that is... more enjoyable to play a second time around and make different decisions because you do have a different outcome in that regard. But something like Tomb Raider, for instance, I'm going to get the same result every time I play it as far as the outcome's concerned. Obviously, the fights will play out a little bit differently, but not enough to warrant, you know, going through it all over again. That was a long game, too.
It was
longer than I had expected it to be. It was very satisfying, but it was longer than I was expecting it to be. Every time I thought it was almost over, it's like, nope, we still got a long way to go for this.
Yeah. The thing that really sticks out in my mind about Tomb Raider was how many times could one person fall down something, a mountain, a ledge, just anything. She was always falling. And kind of reminded me of Isaac Clarke in Dead Space. You know, he falls a lot.
Yeah, there were videos in Dead Space. I remember videos about Isaac, the many faces of death for Isaac Clarke, and the many ways they did the same thing for Lara Croft when they brought out Tomb Raider. Basically, was focused on everybody on how much she could suffer this game.
Are we getting the Division first look here?
It looks like it.
From Massive Entertainment, it was a Ubisoft company, so I'm guessing this is the Division that we're looking at. And you'll have to forgive us while we're we've got this on the
short attention
on the
span.
Show. It's like, oh, new game, let's watch it. So anyway, we will watch this, but right now we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll have more in-game chat coming up in just a bit. Welcome back to In-Game Chat as we watch the VGXs. And what we had just a few moments ago was the award for Best Independent Game.
Independent, yes.
The winner of that went to Gone Home, a game that I have not played. James has played it, and I think he may be the only one in this group who has.
I've played it, and I beat it.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you hadn't. I'm sorry.
No, I haven't.
Oh, wow.
You don't remember 5 minutes ago when you asked him not to spoil it?
No, I was talking about that. You're right. Anyway, you have played it. And,
yes.
So that's not a game I want to get spoiled. I do want to play it at some time. Kentucky.
Kentucky Route Zero. That's another. I haven't done that one.
That was another nomination.
That's another one I really want to play.
Yes.
And what was the other? Papers, Please was good.
Yes.
That was really good.
And Stanley Parable was another one.
Another one I haven't played.
Yeah. In fact, all of those nominees were really great up there. And again, though, Gone Home and KRZ are two that I have not played. Papers, Please is one that I have played. And yes, it is very good.
I know I've only played one game on that list, but I'm kind of sad that Thomas Was Alone wasn't nominated because that was also one of my favorite indie games this past year.
Yeah, I haven't done that one either.
I really enjoyed that.
But you were talking about, Jeremy, during the break, talking about some of our favorite games, or at least some of the games that we would have picked to be nominated or to win, or...
Just whatever. It's hard to say. Well, this is what I think should be Game of the Year because, you know, there's so many different things to take into consideration there. But
yeah.
If you were going to pick, like...
Like, my pick for so far, action-adventure, game of the year, those two probably would have been Last of Us.
Okay.
Over the winners. Tomb Raider's great. GTA would not, I mean, it would have made nominations, but I mean, oh boy, it wouldn't have been in there. It wouldn't have been in the top like three type situation for me. It's not bad.
No, it's a fun game, but it's
but when
definitely
you stack it up
best,
against
Last of Us.
Something like Last of Us, Beyond Two Souls didn't get any nominations. BioShock Infinite is kind of surprisingly absent from nominations as well. Seems like a popular game that would be thrown in there.
It was nominated for Game of the Year.
That's right, it was. Yeah. And GTA won Game of the Year. But my personal pick would have been Last of Us. What about you, Matt?
I think, definitely Last of Us had, to me, the most emotional resonance of the games that I played this past year. And it would definitely be on my list for best game that I've played this past year.
For best action-adventure, I would have said Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
I would have given Game of the Year to Last of Us, and based on what I've played, and this is all based on what I've played because I haven't played, you know, Assassin's Creed 4 or several other things, but indie game I would have given to Papers, Please.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do you sit on this, RJ?
I'm having more thoughts thinking that Last of Us would have made a better Game of the Year than GTA 5 because GTA 5 was more the same. Still
GTA
fun.
5 wouldn't have even been in my top 5.
No, I know like more the same, but it was still fun to me and I had a good time playing it. But I lost track of time playing Last of Us because it was that deep and that's how much it pulled me into playing that and wanted to finish it off. So I think it deserved a more, it deserved a Game of the Year as opposed to GTA 5.
Yeah, right, dude, in the chat room says, when are the IGC awards? Do you guys remember when we did the end of the fiscal year awards?
Yes, I remember that. It was a good idea. We should revive that.
We should. Now that we're doing this, we definitely should. And maybe we will revive that for... When does that take place? March?
Seems about right.
The beginning or the end of March, something like that, I think, is the end of the fiscal year.
For most of the companies, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because what happens, our problem was, is that most of the time... Your games that get released in the early part of the year are...
They get ignored.
They get ignored from...
From January, February, and March.
Yeah. From the September, October, November releases.
Right.
That are top of mind, fresh in the heads of everyone. Most people are currently playing them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting the most hype and everything else about the game. But we may revive
Actually,
that.
Actually, this would be almost the perfect year to bring that back because there's going to be some interesting next-gen stuff coming out in February and March that will probably get overlooked at the end of the year next year. So,
yeah, that would be good, actually, because, again, Thief hits in February.
So does Infamous Second Son.
Yeah, Second Son.
Right, that hits in March.
Mm-hmm. Was that March? I think it was February.
Reggie was on and announced that I think the Donkey Kong game, I can't remember what it's called, but the new one for the Wii U,
mm-hmm.
Will be released in February.
Okay.
We'll get a States release in February. So that's one as well. I don't think do any of us have a Wii U to play that on?
No. Dennis has one.
Dennis does. Gotta figure out how to get him back on the show. He's in the chat room now.
He'll be back on pretty soon.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Good. His weekends will be free soon.
That'll be awesome. Would love to have him back on and give us that Wii U perspective because we don't own him.
No.
The thought of purchasing one has entered my head.
Especially mine with Bayonetta 2. But like I said, I've never been the type to buy a system for one game. You got to have more on there than one to get me to buy, get me
How
to
many
buy
more?
One.
Is there five? The threshold?
Three to five.
Depending on how much you want each of those games independently, I'm guessing. Like if there was three that you wanted to play really, really bad, it would be three. And if there were like... two that you really wanted to play and three that you were kind of excited about, sort of.
I better want to play them because that's going to be a lot of money put in there.
Yeah.
That's why I haven't bought a game. I haven't bought a system at launch since Dreamcast because I was waiting for the library to build up for the other ones.
But I know, like, the PlayStation 4, that's going to get the games that, you know, the library built
up. Eventually they'll get to a point where
I'll
just pick one up.
The Wii U, for me, is just, you know, it's almost like the Wii where, like, I regret buying the Wii, and so I've been very hesitant about the Wii U because there's been really nothing on there that's, you know, got my interest.
Or just hope for by the time I pick up a PS4 or Xbox One, that exclusivity thing with Bayonetta 2 will be gone. But I don't know.
Speaking of, for any of the live listeners, because this won't matter once this hits YouTube and the podcast and stuff. For any of the live listeners, I believe it is Best Buy, Target, and a couple other stores will have PS4s and Xbox Ones tomorrow. They will have, from what I understand, the largest stock that they will have before Christmas.
Okay.
Will be in tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm. Best Buy and where?
Target.
Okay.
I want to say Walmart, but I'm not. I think Walmart as well.
Okay.
But be careful on the Walmart situation, because if you've got a 24-hour Walmart store in your area, that could happen at midnight tonight. Mm-hmm. More than it would on the other stores that are open. Now, I know Best Buy. In Best Buy's case, if you go out there and start lining up for it for tomorrow, or get there very early to wait, about an hour before the store opens, they will be handing out tickets to redeem the console. And they will have Xbox Ones and PS4s. I don't know that they'll have bundles, but I do know they'll have just the console themselves for sale. So if anybody is interested and wanted to pick up one of those, check out your local Best Buys, Targets, and Walmarts tomorrow. So I think we're getting another world premiere trailer on the VGXs right now, and we will keep an eye. I'll have you guys keep an eye on that to let us know what it is that they're showing off. But coming up later on the show, we've got an interview with Twisted Pixel. They're going to talk about their new game, Loco Cycle. I have played it. I really enjoyed it.
Oh,
it's
good.
A Twisted Pixel game. It's, you know, it's yeah. It's common Twisted Pixel stuff, man. And yeah, I played it. Oh, God. The interview was it's a pre-recorded interview, by the way. And we did this on Thursday. And I pretty much ran through the entire game Wednesday night. Took me about 4 hours to go through. But it was a lot of fun and very funny at times. Some of the humor was hit and miss, but most of it for me was hit. More than it was miss. What is this?
Is this Destiny?
No.
They showed Destiny early.
That's... Oh, they did?
Yeah, this is not Destiny. Is this? Is that the? No, that's not. Never mind. I was like, is that the Jonathan Blow game? And I was like, oh, no, that's definitely... When they switched to, like, Interspace Warfare, that is definitely not it. Colony Wars?
I don't know.
It's space combat, though. At least,
but also land-based where you could get around and...
Ah.
Hmm.
Isn't this fun listening? Listening to a bunch of guys?
You shot a hole through an asteroid and flew through it. I'm really interested now. And there's...
Oh.
Those are sandworms.
Yeah, we're trying
like
to give
Dune
you
style sandworms.
Giving you a vivid description of what we're seeing on the screen while you're probably watching your
No Man's Sky.
I haven't heard of that.
That's
one.
That's brand new.
Yeah.
It said everything new to be excited about and interesting.
That's
okay,
great.
World premiere. Yeah, it said everything was being rendered in real time.
Yeah.
Procedurally.
Apparently, we get something like that once per hour.
Okay.
The first hour was the Telltale Games
okay.
Borderlands thing.
And this hour was
No Man's Sky.
Okay.
Seems to be, you know.
So there's still one more surprise next hour.
But I hope. I mean, they still haven't revealed anything for Titanfall.
Oh, you're speculating.
Yeah,
okay.
I know.
Yeah.
No, I'm... Hello Games is the company.
But still, like, I mean, before that, we didn't know anything about the Borderlands game.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And we didn't know anything. Yeah, so this
I'm
is
saying
like,
pure
wow.
surprise. Pure... Didn't know it was happening type situation. The Tomb Raider game trailer that they showed, we knew there was rumor of that being shown.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, we've already played that. This is like, I've never heard of this IP, and it
yeah.
looks really interesting.
That was really cool. Hello yeah. Games did make Joe Danger, Three Blade says. That's mm-hmm. what I thought.
Yeah.
Because I met those guys at, I met them at PAX, and they talked about their game, and I was like, what else are you guys doing after this? And like, oh, we're done with Joe Danger. I mean, we're not, we may do some DLC for it. But we're moving on from here. And he didn't, you know, obviously didn't let up to anything. And that's something else I talk about with Twisted Pixel guys, is about what they're doing next.
Okay.
And they don't...
Kind of shady?
They don't break, but...
Okay.
We do get a little bit, a Ooh. Very tiny bit of information.
Still, that's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. But, in fact, you'll get more information out of playing Loco Cycle. Because there's some little hidden things in that game that show off their next game.
Okay.
Very, very huge departure, by the way.
From anything they've done before?
As far as the look, yes.
Okay. Is it still a platformer?
Don't know. I mean, seriously, don't know.
Okay.
There's two pictures hidden in the extras of the game that you have to unlock. One is a picture of a woman in a mocap suit.
Okay.
Which they've never done before.
No.
Yeah, all the stuff that they've done has either been live action or it's just been animation. But they've never done mocap whatsoever. And then the other one is concept art, which looks very fantasy-based. And just very interesting to know that something like that may be coming from these guys. So, anyway, back to your games, your adventure games. We talked about the independent games. We talked about game of the year type of thing. I would say sports game, and I'll look to RJ for that because none of us are going to be able to help you on that. What about you for your sports pick?
Sports pick, because I like baseball, MLB 13, the show.
What about you for your fighter pick? Because, again, that goes to you on those.
Well, fighter.
You had some good ones this year.
Yes, we did. Huh. I'm trying to think of the one that was released most recently. Let's see.
I would think it would be Injustice. Wasn't that the most recent?
No. I personally didn't have a lot of fun with Injustice, really.
Hey, I played a sports game, too.
What did you play?
WWE 2K14.
Oh, that's right. It qualifies.
I can't tell you whether it was best or worst. It's the only one I've played.
It's the only one you played.
It's the only wrestling or sports game I've played in the past 15 years.
Yeah,
so.
It's the best for you then.
the worst.
The only sports game I played the only sports game I played this year came out in 2011. Does that kind of count? There's a virtual tennis 4.
No, it doesn't count.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's a sports entertainment.
It's the only thing
close. There's sports in the title, so yeah, that
counts. It was nominated for the VGX for best sport, so.
Yeah.
So what about your fighter, though?
Yeah.
Fighter, goodness. Yeah. I mean, my favorites are still Virtua Fighter 5. That came out, 12? It's been a while since that came out. Still loving Street Fighter and Soul Calibur, Street Fighter 4 and Soul Calibur 5. Looking forward to Ultra.
Did you play a fighter game this year other than Injustice?
That came out this year.
This year.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking.
I don't think I have. Like I said, Virtua Fighter 5, Super Street Fighter 4, Soul Calibur 5, those three I've played a lot. And all the ones that came out this year were like little DLC. In DLC probably.
So you're not handing out an award for this year for best fighter, huh?
No, you guys not. When something comes out, yeah, let me know. Then I'll give
you
one.
No award for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think of where anything that I played would fit.
Anywhere near sports?
No, not sports. Just in other categories. Because, I mean, we've been hitting some of the high profiles. But I'm trying to think of the games that I played this year. And obviously, Bioshock Infinite. We've all talked about the games that we've all played this year. Arkham Origins would have to fit in there somewhere. I don't know. It would probably be in my nomination for Action Adventure.
Or at least best Batman game.
But it's a Batman game. Yeah, great. Well, what other Batman game came out this year?
I think they had the Vita game version of Blackgate.
What other Batman game came out this year? Yeah. So, but it should go in. It would probably go into my action adventure category. A lot of fun. You played that too. You finished it. Yeah.
It was. I enjoyed it very much.
Jeremy, if you ever get your hands on it, you should play it too. I think.
I still got to play Arkham City.
Oh, you still haven't played that?
Yeah.
Yikes!
Man, I got a lot of stuff to play.
Yeah.
I really do. I still have to finish Witcher. The longer I stay away from it, the harder it is to go back to it, and the worse I feel about going back to it. But I still need to because I can't play Witcher 2 until I finish Witcher. I'm like three quarters of the way.
Yeah,
through Witcher.
We haven't gotten a release date on Witcher yet, other than sometime in 2014.
I'm obligated to play Dark Souls because Nab bought it for me.
I'm in the same boat with you, and I really want to.
It's not that I don't want to play. Yeah. But there's also a feeling of obligation now, which makes me feel weird about it. And Track Zero bought me a Dishonored in the last Steam sale, so I'm also obligated to play that now. And it's one I've been looking forward to playing. But now there's a sense of urgency about it. The only thing I've played recently has been, and you'll appreciate this, Pinball Effects.
Really?
I picked
up
that's
because the Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I'd always thought, I like pinball. Not as much as you, you know. I don't do all the things you do to the pinball tables. But yeah, I like pinball. And
I noticed like you had an achievement.
I'd like to have some play casually and whatever, but the buy-in was just a bit too much for me. So when I saw the Humble Bundles at $6 for all those tables,
saw you had the achievement for
is that still going on?
A Spider-Man table, I think it was.
I got an achievement for something. I don't know. Yeah. I was playing and an achievement came up.
Trust me, that's how it works too. And in my latest Silverball Sundays video, I get an achievement on the was that Tesla table I played? I got an achievement for it, and I was like, I don't know what that achievement is, but, you know.
I'll take it,
whatever it is.
Oh, we got a message in the chat room by Nabokov fan. He says, Jeremy, you're not obligated to participate in my experiments. I got my bone out of it.
That's what you think. I'm still obligated to.
It's one of those things. The other thing was, I've got, I don't know that I'll do Dark Souls 2, or Dark Souls, but Witcher is one that I played the first because I want to play the third.
Yeah.
And now I have to go through the second game.
That's a much better place to be in, though. Because everybody loves the second
game. I got one game to go. You got two games to go.
They rant and rave about how great the second game is.
The controls and the fighting.
And like if the first game were just terrible, I could skip it and go straight to the second game. But when you ask people, like, can I skip the first game? They're like,
not really.
Well,
I've gotten split on that.
I guess you could, but
yeah, that's not very encouraging. They're like, okay, I could, I totally can.
If everybody told me you shouldn't even just play don't it, you should bother. Just go the second, that's what I would do.
Yeah,
but there's clearly something there. So and you know, like I said, I'm 3/4 of the way through it. I see what's there, but I really want to be done with it so I can move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I've got Witcher. See, right now I'm doing Assassin's Creed 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as soon as I'm done with it, which if my OCD doesn't let up, it's going to be a while.
Did you beat 3?
Assassin's Creed 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. I played through, I have played through every single Assassin's Creed console released or PC released game. Have not done any of the handheld stuff or the tablet stuff, but all the major retail releases I have played through of Assassin's Creed. And I'm, working on Assassin's Creed 4 now, which I will say is a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's really working. And I've talked to James about this, and he's enjoying what he's played. I don't know. You've been in the same room with him.
He's been telling me about it. And I got to say, I'm really dismayed to hear that this is a good game. Because I was perfectly content to walk away from this series after 3 and never look back.
Yeah.
So, but whatever, I got a lot of other games standing in front of me right now, staring me down.
I know.
I can't even think about AC4 at the moment.
Is 3 worth beating?
No.
Or just skip it?
Absolutely not.
Not at all.
No. Okay. You should never feel a twinge of guilt about walking away from that game.
Because I've done, like Scott said, I've done all of the other console ones except for that one. And I think I just got to New York and I put it down. I'm like, I haven't been able to, bring myself to it.
As long as you don't get that completionist bug in you, you're fine.
No.
You can just skip it and go to 4.
Okay.
Which you have done anyway.
Yeah,
so,
basically.
I don't know what the problem there is. The game they're showing off right now is Dying Light. I played this at PAX. It's a free run. It's like Mirror's Edge and Left 4 Dead. Maybe Dead Island. I haven't played Dead Island.
Okay.
But that's a good comparison. Mirror's Edge and, sure, Dead Island. Zombies, first-person perspective, lone person playing, and you can do a lot of free running and stuff. But very, very much in the vein of Mirror's Edge.
Would really like them to world premiere Mirror's Edge 2. Next hour. That would make me very, very
and
happy.
Video footage?
Depending on what they show us.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah.
This game was a lot of fun when I played it. The controls, the way they had the first question I asked him when I got done, I was like, can you map the controls the way you want to? He's like, yeah, you can. Because the way they had it set up was horrible for me. I cannot remember the exact way they had it set up, but things were inverted, and I never liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the button layouts for what you had to do just didn't fall into my head of, if I want to do this action, I press this button. It was some other button that my muscle memory wanted to react with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
But it's interesting, like, you know, there are certain games that you just, you feel needs to be a certain way on the controller. Like, it just makes more intuitive sense if the controls were this way.
Well, in a
and
way.
When they're not like that, it throws you off.
Yeah, in a way, I want to say you squeeze the triggers to do the swing, but not in this game. It was something else that required that. And it just thrown me completely off while I was playing the demo of it. A couple other guys from COG also played the demo as well. Yeah, Mirror's Edge plus Zombies, says Dennis. Dennis also alerted us to the fact that, not Dennis, but Captain Canuck also alerted us to the fact that Witcher 2 is a lot shorter than Witcher 1, less running around in side quests, and no mid-game drag like in 1. That's really great to hear. Because 1, I felt, was really long. In fact, it got to the point where I thought it was my fault that it was really long, because I was trying to finish out everything in an area. You know, I was on that side quest thing of, like, let me finish this stuff up before I move on type situation.
Yeah.
And it got to the point in, I think, chapter 3 where I said, I'm done with that. Let's just hit the story and go.
Yeah, I'm not having that problem. I am just doing the story and moving on. And it's still a long game.
Where are you? What chapter are you in? Do you remember?
Third chapter.
You're in the third chapter?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You're...
I'm, like, halfway through the third chapter or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm... I just need to sit down and finish it. I can't. The problem is, I can't start another game that I really want to play, because I worry that if I do, I'll never go back and finish Witcher. But at the same time, I don't want to sit down in front of Witcher. It seems like such a task to sit down in front of it.
That's a horrible feeling to have with a hobby you love.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh God, I've got to.
The thing
sit
is, when
do
I do
this.
Sit down with it, I have fun. So I don't know why I feel that way every time I think about actually sitting down and playing it more.
Huh.
I really.
Yeah, it feels more like work than actual fun.
Yeah,
I've been in that situation before, grinding out for something. Actually.
Yeah, well, the grind is basically what it comes down to, and that's exactly where I was with Witcher 1 when I made that decision to be like, I'm ready for this to be done. I mean, let's get on the, you know, let's stop poking around the neighborhoods, get on the interstate and go, get to our destination.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I did in Chapter 3. When I was done, I did not have an eagerness to start 2. I was like, okay. Let me get away from this world for a while, because I am so tired of this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just take a breather. And I did for about a month or so, and then I installed Witcher 2 and started it up. This was around the same time that Nabokov gave us Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, let me move on to Dark Souls. We said we were going to stream it and that sort of thing. And then I started up Dark Souls, started playing it, didn't finish that. And then it just moved on from here to there. Here's another one. BioShock Infinite, the DLC.
Yeah.
Buried
at Sea?
Buried at Sea DLC, yeah.
I started that.
I picked it up, but I haven't done anything with it. Batman Arkham Origins was around. AC4 is now around. And it's just one of those things. I've got Contrast to play, and I haven't done that. So, Twisted Pixel. I had to tear myself away from Assassin's Creed 4 because I was like, we're going to talk to Twisted Pixel. I need to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. And really enjoyed it, but it was nice that I could play the game and get through it in one sitting, so that I can be like, okay, mark that off the list. Let's, you know, continue on with what we were doing. So right now I'm stuck in Assassin's Creed 4. I'm not stuck in it. I'm enjoying it. Assassin's Creed 4 has gotten to the point where I have to make plans to play it because how fast time moves for me when I play that game.
Okay.
I get so wrapped up that just... You know,
sailing around.
4 hours go by in a blink while I'm playing that game. I'm doing the app stuff with my fleet. You're on PS4, you're not on PC, so I don't think that matters. But if you're on PC, use the Uplay stuff and use the app for your fleet. You can manage your fleet from the app. Really great.
I think I could do that in my...
You can do that, too. You can do that, too, except that if you and I are friends on the same console, I can speed up your ships.
Okay.
While they're doing their missions, and you can speed up mine or heal mine or escort mine through there, and you'll get bonuses from it. I'll get the bonus that, you know, you've sped up my time or helped my ship go through. And that's really good. I love the fact that they did this. I love the fact that you can manage it all from a companion app, which not a lot of people have gotten right.
Yeah.
To me. So anyway, when we come back, we will have an interview with Twisted Pixel and talk about their new game, Loco Cycle. We will answer some of your questions that you asked in the thread we made for it on COG, and we will be right back with the second hour of in-game chat right after this.
to In-Game Chat. Right now, we are talking with Twisted Pixel. In fact, Jay Stuckwish is on the line with us right now from Twisted Pixel. Jay, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Scott, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, love you guys. We have had you guys on since the mall. I think every game released, with the exception of Gunstringer, because we weren't in a position to do that at the time, but we've had somebody from Twisted Pixel on for every game you guys have released so far, and it's a great tradition, and we love doing it, so love to pick that tradition back up with your brand new title, Loco Cycle, on Xbox One. It is coming to Xbox 360, right?
Yeah, it is. We haven't announced a date yet, but it'll be sometime in 2014, and we're really excited about that, to be able to, you know, be on both versions of Xbox. You know, as you know, the game was originally an Xbox 360 title, and you know, we were able to kind of go ahead and beef it up and get it ready for Xbox One. So, you know, since so much of it was ready for 360, we can go that route as well.
Yeah, what is the now 2014 for the Xbox 360? Is there any reason for the long delay in that?
You know, there's just there's some other things that have to be done with it yet. You know, since it was kind of backburnered to get ready for the Xbox One launch, we had to, you know, kind of pick it back up and get things ready to go. Plus, we're trying to get some other unannounced things in the works right now. So it's always busy around here, and we're a smaller team. So, you know, things get delayed a little bit here and there.
Yeah. Now, given that, I'm guessing it'll be somewhat, with the exception of, I'm sure, you know, clarity, resolution, things like that, I'm sure that it'll be somewhat the same game. There won't be any kind of, extra level in the 360 version, or will it come with DLC perhaps, or something like that, that may enter on the Xbox One, but it'll be included on the 360 release or something like that?
No, it's actually going to be the same game. We just wanted to make sure it was out there for people that weren't ready to upgrade to the Xbox One yet, and they were, you know, able to have a chance to try the game out for themselves as well.
Yeah, now Loco Cycle, if I remember or have read correctly, or maybe I'm just making this up, I really don't know, but this is your most expensive game, correct?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really at liberty to discuss that, but,
well, I know it's,
I mean, it's definitely our biggest endeavor. You know, it's the longest dev cycle we've had,
right,
to work on a game. And, you know, we wound up like where we were trying to before split into two teams and both work on two titles, you know, bring everybody together and pretty much work on this together. So yes, it's definitely our largest title to date.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it had taken the longest of anyone you'd done. It was, I don't know about the most ambitious, probably, but it was the most time consuming, the longest time it took you to do it, and also just one of the more, probably the more higher profile games that you guys have done, being now, especially when it got attached as an Xbox One launch title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Was there any pressure when that happened? I mean, how did that switch come about? How did you go from being an Xbox 360 to an Xbox One title, launch title?
You know, we just, we wound up talking with Microsoft about it, and, you know, being that we're a Microsoft company now, you know, we got to talking about what, you know, what our options could be for this game. And, you know, it was the idea was thrown out to become a launch title, you know, if we got a little more time to work on it and polish it up and stuff like that. So, yeah, I guess it was just, you know, we were coming up on the end of a, you know, console generation, and, you know, we could make this game and it could just kind of hover out there, or we could, you know, kind of, you know, go out on a new console generation, which sounded really awesome to us. And, you know, like, none of us here have ever worked on a launch title before. So that was a pretty big honor for Twisted Pixel, you know, being such a smaller studio.
Yeah, really. I mean, how big is the team now?
We are at 28 people, and that's pretty much capacity. That's about where we want to stay.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I first talked to Mike and the guys back in the mall, and I think they said they were around 7 or 15, maybe. Probably. Mm-hmm. I think it was 7, and I think they grew to 15 mm-hmm. for Splosion Man, and then around Miss Splosion Man as well. So, yeah, it was... It was interesting to hear the growth, and now you're at 28 people, so yeah. Working on these games. So LocoCycle released for Xbox One. Obviously, you've put in a lot of time to make the game. Have you been able to check out the reception as far as players are concerned? Not going to talk about reviews just yet, but as far as just the fan base out there, have you been able to see the reception of that?
Yeah, it seems like the fan base is really enjoying it. I mean, I get like tweets daily about people that have played through it already and how much they enjoyed it, and some people saying it's our greatest game to date. I've gotten emails from people, just random cold call emails from, just fans that really enjoyed it and want more. And it's been good. I think the people that know who we are and have enjoyed our past games are really having a blast with it.
What is the is there any chance of this, of LocoCycle making its way to PC at some point? Now, I know that I think the Maw is on PC. I don't know. Is Splosion Man on PC?
We have Missplosion Man.
Missplosion Man is on PC. Why the differences there? What's the reasoning behind some of your games being on PC and some of your games not being? Especially in the sense of Splosion Man and Missplosion Man.
Yeah.
Which are, I mean, they are two different games, but they're so closely related together. Why not both?
Well, I guess it kind of came down to when we were working on Miz, we had the option of like, okay, cool. Like, this is kind of like the game that we wanted Splosion Man to be. And, with the more spit and polish and stuff like that. And, we're like, well, this would be the better one to take to PC for right now. I mean, if we're going to be launching it on Xbox 360, it's timely to do it on PC as well. We also had plans for the mobile version in the works, so it just kind of felt like the right time to kind of hit all three of those areas. With Splosion Man, we weren't doing that, and again, it was like a small dev cycle for that game, so it was just kind of like we worked as hard as we could to get that 360 version of the game out. So this time we had more with Miss Splosion Man. Anyway, we had more time to get it ready for a PC or a mobile version as well. Not sure about LocoCycle yet and what we'll do if PC is in the works or anything, but I mean, we're definitely open to it. The PC gaming arena is an awesome place. I mean, we love having Miz on there and Ma, and it's definitely an area that we'd like to explore more. That's for sure.
Yeah. You guys have built up a library enough to kind of have, and I think do you have a disc-based title that has like a collection of games?
There was a Humble Bundle that went out with Splosion Man and Limbo.
That's right.
Went out.
Yeah, I was wondering.
And then Gunstringer is our other retail title.
That's right. Here's the thing. The Xbox One is the first time I have owned a Kinect. The only other time I played with a Kinect is over at a friend's house or you guys' booth at PAX or E3. Those are the only times that I've messed with a Kinect until my Xbox One. So I'm missing out on Gunstringer. That's a question I'd like to ask is, are we going to see... specifically that one, since I missed out on it, but any of your previous titles, are we going to see some kind of carryover onto Xbox One? I would think more so for Gunstringer, just because of the Kinect involvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I personally would love to. We don't have anything in the plans as of yet. We're actually starting on a new title, but we've never really been much for sequels. I mean, we did miss Splosion Man, but again, it was kind of like the game that, we were able to put more time into it, like the time that we wanted to put into Splosion Man. I guess like we would love to do sequels, but we just have so many other ideas and other things that we want to do and get out there in terms of new IP that those are always, in the forefront of our minds. If we had like another team that we could dedicate to, DLC projects or porting things, 360 titles over to Xbox One, stuff like that, we would probably, but as it stands right now, just the manpower that we have, we just put full force into our newest games.
Well, if it comes up, I'd like to see Gunstringer make it over to Xbox One, just for the fact that it's the only one of your games that I have been unable to play, with the exception of events like PAX and stuff like that. It's the only time I've been able to play it, so That's why I would like that particular title personally to move over to Xbox One now that I have a Kinect and can do something with it. So
yeah, I would too. I think that would be a good title to take over to Xbox One. And you know, if we could work on up-resing the graphics and the performance of it and everything, I think it could be a pretty stunning game on there.
I think it's a brilliant game. Little bit that I played, I think it's just a great, great title. You guys always have nice, just really fun, quirky things that you do. I mean, The Maw was looked at as sort of like, it's kind of a kid's, a children's title type thing. It's all cutesy and that sort of stuff. And then Misplosion Man really opened that, or not Misplosion Man, but Splosion Man really opened that door to just, yeah, we're all about the just being wacky for wacky's sake type situation. Mm-hmm. A guy that just blows up and turns people into meat when he does. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then Comic Jumper really took it out there again, mm-hmm. and then Misplosion Man took it back, and he's an homage to Miss Pac-Man type situation. You guys have just been nailing it with the, here's something that's going to be really fun and funny and quirky and unlike anything else that you've played. Mm-hmm. So, that being said, let's talk about LocoCycle with where it came from. I've heard the backstory, but I'd love for you to repeat it to listeners who may not have heard how LocoCycle came about. I know what it's based on. I got the DVD. Ashamed to admit it, but I do. But go ahead and tell us about the birth of LocoCycle.
Okay, so our creative director and one of the co-founders, Josh Baer,
who does not like to go to events.
He does not like to go to events.
God, I've seen him.
Busy here making games.
Yeah, I think I've seen him at one event.
Yeah,
and it's just I've never seen him since. But I talked to him. I sent him a text this past Thanksgiving, and said congrats on the release and everything. And he responded, but man, does not like to go out in public.
Yeah, I think he just likes to stay, head down and plowing through and keep on working. I think that's why I brought me on. So that's job security for me. So I can just
definitely because he ain't going nowhere, man. You have to take his place at these things. But it's born from him, correct?
Yeah. He actually saw the movie Torque had these crazy dreams about these motorcycles fighting and just. Like these weird, crazy fever dreams about the movie, and the movie itself is a masterpiece all of its own. So, we actually reached out to the director,
really?
Joseph Kahn, and told him, yeah, we're just we're big fans of it, and it helped inspire our game, and that was we got a email back from him, and he sounded pretty excited about that. So, but anyway. Yeah, he had this crazy dream about it, and the next day, came in and started telling the guys at the office the idea, and that it'd be awesome to just have this motorcycle as your character, and that you're fighting other motorcycles or vehicles or whatever else, and the game kind of evolved into being the motorcycle isn't enough. What can we do to kind of amp up the funny? And it's like, oh well, both of the bikes can drag these people behind them, and then you have to use the people to fight with them and stuff like that. So it just kind of evolved from there after seeing the movie Torque, which I'm excited to hear you have the DVD because that DVD is very hard to find.
Really?
I could not find it. I was hoping to find it somewhere in stores still. I'm sure I can get it off of Amazon, but I was just looking, hoping to find it even in an obscure video store around here in Austin. And rather hard to find.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know if that's a good sign for it or if that's, if it's like, it's hard to find because a lot of people want it, or if it's hard to find because a lot of people don't, and so they don't stock it.
I think it's the former. I actually do.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
Okay, no, well then,
not yet.
Withhold your comments.
So, I want to. I think. I think the director's supposed to be sending us a copy.
Really?
So I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that. He's a very busy man. So,
man. Hey, speaking of Austin that you were talking about, the live action scenes that you guys filmed, was that all done in Austin, or where'd you guys do that?
Yeah, it was. We tried to keep all of our filming local, so it was all done in Austin or the surrounding Austin area. Different locations and whatnot. Bringing Freddie Rodriguez down here and traipsing them all over the Austin area.
Whose decision was that? Who decided that we want Freddie Rodriguez for Pablo and we want Robert Patrick for Spike?
You know, that's all Josh. He, you know, comes in with that. I mean, we'll talk, you know, they'll talk about like what they want to do in terms of, you know, voice actors and talent and whatnot. But ultimately they're like, yeah, you know, this, I mean, he'd be cool for this part. And like the option to work with, you know, Robert Patrick as the voice of one of your characters. I mean, if anybody knows our games, they know that we're huge, you know, Terminator fans and, you know, reference that. A lot, you know, lots of Arnold Schwarzenegger references and things like that. So, I mean, just to get somebody like that is like, yeah, let's shoot for it. And if we get it, awesome. If not, you know, we can try somewhere else. But that's usually, you know, Josh and some of the other creatives that are putting the story together.
Well, that's my next question then. How do you pitch this to someone like Robert Patrick or someone like Freddie Rodriguez? Well, Freddie Rodriguez probably is familiar with video games and that sort of thing. Robert Patrick, I don't know, but how do you approach someone who is an actor, but maybe not an, you know, hey, we're doing a video game. This isn't a film. Mm-hmm. We're doing a video game. You can treat it like a film, but you know, mm-hmm. how do you approach someone like that and sell them on this?
Well, we tell them that they're auditioning for Call of Duty, and then as they, you know, audition for the part, when we pull the rug out from underneath them and we tell them to start recording for this game instead. No, actually it's just, you know, you get in touch with their agent and just kind of talk them through the idea, let them know, like, this is, you know, this is what we're looking at. And, you know, we try to have all of our ducks in a row, like, figured out,
right,
like, how long we're actually going to need them for, you know, how long they would need to be away if they need to travel for the thing. And just be as exact as possible with what we want to do with them. And just, you know, tell them the idea. And if it sounds like something that they're interested in, you know, the agents will pretty much know, and they'll let them know the idea, and it's either yay or nay. And luckily for those guys, they both said yes, and we got to work with, you know, two really talented people amongst a bunch of others, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to diminish you know, Mr. Kaufman's role.
Yes.
Or Tom's role.
He was the big get. Lloyd Kaufman was the big get.
But you guys had him for Gunstringer, didn't you?
Yeah, I actually, we can't get rid of him.
I was going to say, he seems to enjoy he seems to enjoy just being a part of whatever you guys are doing, but enjoys the aspects of the parts that you involve him in, and probably adds his own you know, style to it as well. I know he did for Gunstringer.
Yeah, that he does. he's an interesting character to work with. We love Lloyd. He's a good guy.
Were all the actors that you guys used for this, were they all, and you probably will just tell me anyway that they were, but were they all your first choice?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we were sure that we wanted Tom Savini to play the Holt Ryback, and James Gunn was an awesome addition. You know, we just kind of threw that out there to him, and it was something that he was interested in doing, and he's really good friends with Lloyd Kaufman, so, you know, there's kind of a correlation there.
Yeah, really. You pull that guy in, you're pulling in quite a lot of the cult guys in there, so.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it was pretty much all the people that we were looking for that we went with.
How did the game evolve over the course of development? I mean, being as long as in development as this was, I can't imagine that it looks now anything like it was, you know, looking at on paper during the beginning.
Yeah, the evolution. I mean, if people could have seen it from our first playable demo to what it is now, I mean, it's night and day. I mean, it was unbelievable what these guys were able to do, you know, working round the clock to get the game to where it is and whatnot. I mean, it was such a a bigger game than what we've ever done before, you know, and it took more time. And I mean, it's literally night and day between the two versions, which is, or well, the several versions of it working up until what it is now. I think it looks really pretty personally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you also had, you know, you talk about, the big aspects of the game and how it's so much bigger than your previous titles. And you actually had, were they fully working bikes?
Yeah. We had both the bikes made. Iris is non-working because just of the way she's designed, she would be impossible to ride or anything. I mean, her handlebars are just kind of clamped on. They're not even real, but, you know, for using her in the live action stuff, it worked out perfectly. Spike, you could he actually runs and you can drive him, but he's so much longer than like, like properly proportioned motorcycle, you'd have to be about 9 feet tall to ride him comfortably. So, you know, the guy who built the bike, is a pretty big guy, and he was able to drive it around a little bit, but I mean, he was stretched out, looked like Stretch Armstrong on that thing, trying to turn it and maneuver it around, but he got it up. He got it, running and out on the road.
Now, with the exception of, the opening, and by this, I mean the opening cinematic, the engine cinematic, are any of the guys on the team bikers?
Yeah, actually Chainsaw, our audio guy.
Well, with a rides. Name like Chainsaw.
Yeah, with a name like Chainsaw. Yeah, he rides, and our lead concept artist, Brandon Ford, is a biker.
And what are their thoughts on the game, or what are their thoughts on sort of the depiction of your version, I guess, of biker community type stuff?
Well, you know, I mean, Brandon was actually the guy, I don't want to spoil anything, but in one of the scenes that you'll see, there is a biker that eats a very large grilled cheese sandwich.
He's that
Brandon.
Guy. Yeah.
That's
okay.
Brandon. And I think it's very accurate. I think they all get together in big fields and eat grilled cheeses together.
What's with the grilled cheese thing?
Who doesn't love grilled cheese?
Come on. They're great, but that's a giant grilled cheese.
It is. It's amazing, right?
I thought it was a foam prop until he bit into it. I guess nope. It could still be foam, but
that's
good God.
That's a real cheese, a real grilled cheese.
Man, you guys do some crazy stuff in Austin with your grilled cheeses and your donuts and everything else. So going to get to some of the questions from some of the community here. Mm-hmm. Dan Hu says, have any of you ever played Explodemon, the coincidentally similar game to Explosion Man, not the Capcom ripoff? And what did they think?
Well, a couple of the guys here have, actually. I haven't personally played it. So I don't know much about it, but from hearing what the other guys are saying, you know, it's very similar. It's very similar, but no, I haven't played it, but I know several of the guys have.
His next question is, how difficult was it to create a new game studio? And is everyone happy with the move to only doing digital distributed titles?
I guess I can tell you what I know as far as starting the game studio with, Mike, Frank, and Josh being the founders. I know that it was very difficult for them because they basically, you know, decided to quit their right. job and do this full time and move to a small town in southern Indiana and all live in one house and eat ramen and, you know, try to make a game company. So I know there was a lot of sacrifice on their parts to get this going. A few other guys, you know, helped out with that and came along for the ride when the mall was started. But it was a very I don't know if I want to say difficult process, but it was very, there was a lot of like hardships involved with it, and they managed to stick it out and work through it and, grow into the company that we are. And, I think everybody here seems pretty happy to work on the digital distributed titles. You know, it's not like that's all we ever will do or all we ever want to do. You know, obviously we have Gunstringer on as a retail right. title and stuff like that. I mean, it'd be neat to explore that more a little bit too. So I think that with that in mind, people aren't like, oh, we're just pigeonholed into doing download and that's it. But I think they're fine with doing that, you know, for now.
Yeah. The next question comes from Z-Con, and, we were going to get to this eventually. I'm sure they know about the elephant in the room that is LocoCycle scores. Some of the sites are even suggesting racism. Personally, I have really enjoyed all of their previous work and will be picking up LocoCycle soon because I feel that their other games speak to their style of just having a goofy, fun time.
Yeah. Well, to answer the first question, I guess, we are well aware of the scores. And I think we kind of, we're prepared for this going in. I mean, we have to remember this is a brand new console generation. So games are under a lot of scrutiny. I mean, across both, platforms. And, people are looking for this, this mind-blowing, beautiful graphics, looking game, and that's awesome. There's definitely that, and there should be that, and I'm a huge supporter of that. But people that know who we are and know what we do know that we're a smaller company, and we make games like this, and everything's under a microscope, with the new console launch. And I think a lot of the eyes that are on the game and people are saying stuff like that, and this is just my opinion, but I think a lot of the eyes that are on it are people that think that we should be putting out AAA titles, and that's not what we do. I mean, it's not like maybe we could grow into that or something like that, but that's, I mean, we don't do Halos, we don't do Gears of War, we do, it's a digital title. And I know that our fans know that and they get it. The racism thing is, I think people look to play that card a little too easily. And again, people that know us know that that's not what the game is about. And people are gonna say that, and people are gonna get that from it. But we're 100% behind this game, and we stand behind it, and we know that's not what we set out to do at all. So
yeah, I honestly didn't get it from the specific part that they were talking about, which is basically just the opening cinematic, and probably further through the game if they want to carry that card even further. But I didn't see it, man. And for people listening already, after I've told them that, hey, you guys are great friends of the show and that sort of thing, probably just think, well, you're friends with them. Of course you didn't get that. Well, that's because I'm friends with them. I know their intentions, and the intentions of that is not what they are trying. And by they, I mean the people who are playing that card, that racism situation. It's not you guys. It's not it. That's not the way that they operate and play. It's not, none of that's there. So what do you think, outside of that claims of the racism thing, going back to the scores and that sort of stuff, and you talk about the fine tooth comb that the game was under because of a next gen launch title, do you think it would have come under as much scrutiny if you guys had just stayed on a 360 release?
Probably not.
It would have been, here's another title from Twisted Pixel. Here's another fun, quirky title from Twisted Pixel. Look, they're doing that thing that they do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to say probably not. And
I know. It's one of those you can't, obviously, you can't know for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, his other question is there any word on another Splosion Man or a Maw? I'd love to see what a next-gen Maw game could do.
Oh, man. Yeah, again, I mean, we do get... that request a lot for sequels. We get requests for Comic Jumper sequel and even Gunstringer sequel and stuff like that. And again, I mean, I would love to. I mean, I think I would love to go back to our first title and do something again with the Maw. Again, we don't have any plans to do it, and we've had discussions and stuff like that, but nothing is planned right now. But again, doesn't mean that we never will.
Yeah. Going to, when you were talking about, working on your next title, which is why you guys are so busy and can't have the time to port other, of your previous titles over to an Xbox One or the PC sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I finished the game last night and I had a ton of points left over that you can spend in the garage. And you probably know where I'm going with this. There are two pictures with question marks.
Uh-huh.
And I'll go ahead and spoil these things. People can look at them if they want to, but there's two pictures with question marks. One is a woman in a mocap suit with her face all decked out in the mocap dots, and then the other one looks like an art concept of something beyond anything you guys have done before.
Mm-hmm.
Is this stuff from you?
Oh, it's stuff from us. It's stuff from us.
And it's stuff that's coming from you guys.
Quite possibly. That's about as transparent as I can be on that.
Oh,
right,
damn it, Chad. I bring you guys donuts and stuff. Come on.
I know,
you can
do.
Give
you,
me a
you
little
do.
Bit.
You're amazing.
When is it? No, when is it? When can we expect to hear more about whatever this thing is?
Man, I don't know. I have been like trying to figure that out, and you know, with launch for Loco and Xbox One going on, it's just been too busy to kind of figure out where we're taking that yet. But I'm hoping to know something soon. Maybe it would be something I can tell you offline, but as of right now, I'd be pistol whipped if I said anything at this point.
Well, I mean, feel free to dodge him again, but let me ask a few questions about it. Because of your past, does this come from the mind of Josh?
Yeah, I mean, everything
comes from the mind.
Everything comes from him, pretty much. I mean, for the most part, it's pretty much like stuff that he comes up with. But I mean, he'll meet with the designers and the artists and the team and stuff like that, and they bounce ideas off each other back and forth. That's actually how Splosion Man came about. Was, you know, in a meeting when they were trying to, you know, come up with whatever our new game was. One of the designers threw out an idea of the, you know, man made of explosions that lives in a world of glass, and that's kind of how that came about. So, really, they become a culmination of a lot of people's fever dreams and crazy ideas.
Well, yeah, because it's a snowball effect. One guy has it, and then that just gets the ball rolling, and everybody else says, hey, that's because you guys are so in sync with how you think of things, with how, you know, what you guys find funny and ridiculous, but ridiculous enough to say, yeah, we should make that. We should make that a reality for a game that we can do. Is that I can imagine that it gets to the point of you got a guy dragging behind a bike that you use to fight with, you know? Mm-hmm. So I get that. But back to this, well, whatever this project is, I'll ask you one more question on that because I really can't think of any other question that might make you trip up. when did you guys start working on this new title?
We've actually had this idea for a while and have had,
I guess what I'm saying is that picture of the woman doing the mocap stuff, how long ago was that taken?
Oh man, I don't know, quite honestly. I mean, I want to say it was probably sometime earlier this year, but I'm not 100% sure.
And how do you find the time to even work on that when you guys are so busy with
it? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's basically like conceptual stuff, you know, like just, you know, when like one of the artists is in a downtime or something like this, like, hey, start, you know, scratching out some concept art for, you know, for this, or, you know, hey, we've got this, this mocap suit test. Let's give it a shot and see, you know, see what it's like. So it's not like something like, oh, we're going to work on this and do this for a month and be at it solid. You know, it may be like a day here or there that, you know, a couple things are being tested out just to kind of see where we're going to go with our next thing.
Yeah, and did you guys build a mocap studio? Is that in Austin, or did you guys?
No,
do that somewhere
I wish.
Else?
I wish we did. I wish we had one here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I mean, most of your, like you said, up until obviously whatever that is, you guys do live action stuff, which is great. Mm-hmm. I love that because you can throw in an amazing amount of just physical and cheesy humor.
Yeah.
Live action that you, I don't think you can convey cheesiness through something like mocap or whatever it is that they're doing there. But I think it comes off better, especially if you throw Lloyd in there. But, so I was curious if like, did you guys build a mocap studio in Austin? But not, but that's not the case.
No, that is not the case. As awesome as that would be. No, we are not doing that. Nor have any plans to, but I wish we did.
Well, I look forward to hearing about whatever that may be, and hopefully soon. to get some information of whatever may be coming for you guys. But Jay, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We really appreciate your time. Personally, I just appreciate all the effort and stuff you guys put into your games. You put my name and the show's name inside the Comic Jumper credits, and that is something we will love you guys for forever, and we appreciate it. So just thank you for being friends of the show, and we really appreciate it. Please give my best to Mike, Josh, all the Chainsaw, everybody else over there who I've met at the different shows and who I've talked to online and stuff. So thank you so much, man.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Thank you. And if you ever find yourself down Austin way, man, give me a shout.
I got to make a trip specifically for that, because you guys have invited me multiple times, and I need to make a trip. I've got some friends down there, too, but I need to make a trip specifically to go there and have, apparently, a gigantic grilled cheese.
Yes, so. Sounds good.
All right, man, you take care. Thank you so much.
You too, Scott. Thanks.
And we'll be back with more in-game chat in just a moment.
Welcome back to In-Game Chat, last segment of the show. Music there from Last of Us, which has really good music, too. Reminds me of the game. I'm glad they won Studio of the Year, but apparently the game itself doesn't seem to have taken home any awards from this. Not that it really means much.
Yeah.
to win one of those.
No.
Maybe it does. You know what? I'm not a developer, so maybe this is a big deal for a developer to win something like this. You know what? The next time I talk to one, I'm going to ask him.
You think he'd get a truthful answer?
Nope,
no.
I won't.
Then, yeah.
Because after I thought about that, I was like, you know what? They're not going to give me. They're going to be like, yes, it's very important that we win.
Yeah.
Every, you know, can't say a bad thing about anybody who's who we may be involved with or.
Right.
Yeah. And that's a shame. But anyway, welcome back to the show. We only got about 15 or so minutes to wrap this up. If you could do, I'm putting everybody on the spot. If you could do an award show, if you could do, I think what they try to do every year, but fail every time. How would you do it?
Well,
I like was it the Golden Globes where they have it's like the Oscars only with alcohol.
I guess.
I think I'd do something like that where it's, you know.
But what makes that different? These guys don't have alcohol, and you see what happens. Or maybe they do.
I don't know. I would definitely fire the writing staff for the jokes, because the jokes are just falling flat. They're not well done.
Does it need jokes?
I don't think it does.
Does it need humor?
I don't think you need jokes.
Yeah.
Not the thing is they're. They've got, you know, lowest common denominator humor, because on some level they're still trying to. They really don't know their target audience, so they're just, you know, let's get some famous people up there, tell some crappy jokes.
Yeah, and this
put on a show.
Little music performance that they've been doing is going on for about.
It's apparently like the last
half hour or so.
Last 45 minutes of the show. Or something is a concert.
This is the finale.
Yeah.
For by the way, soundtrack of the year, going to Rockstar, for Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, and which I have a problem with.
Yeah, I know. No, I do too. It's not my look. I just played you a great piece of music.
Yes.
From Last of Us, which may have been a contender. I don't know. They apparently this was an award that was given out not during this program.
Yeah, but I said earlier that's the soundtrack, you know, in our made studio. This Grand Theft Auto is a compilation of people of stuff that other people
the,
has made.
The problem
already.
Is the soundtrack for Grand Theft Auto V is going to be different for just about everybody that played it, depending mm-hmm. on their own personal taste.
Mine was
so
most of the time
how
off.
How can you judge what the soundtrack to that game is?
You can't.
Your soundtrack wasn't the same as mine.
No.
And mine wasn't the same as Scott's or RJ's or like the people up there presenting it. We all listened to different things when we were playing it.
Right.
I think a much more deserving nominee would have been BioShock Infinite for the work they did taking modern songs and fitting them in that era.
That's great.
Because they did some beautiful work with the music, and they actually had a score that music that was set to the events that were happening. Mm-hmm. GTA 5 is just. Hey, what do you like to listen to? We'll play that.
Yeah, and it did have a score. I know that there was a score, probably very minimal.
Yeah,
that played during certain sections of the game. I know on heist
missions,
but
that's not why it won.
No, that is not why it won, and that is not. We didn't look. If you're watching the stream, or if you're
it
watching,
it won because
YouTube,
they had enough money to stuff everything anyone could ever possibly like into it.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
we had it muted here, so if they played anything that was from the game, part of the score, and not necessarily the music inspired by or music used for GTA 5, but the actual score, then we missed that, and if they used it. But I'm almost willing to bet that they did not. But somebody in the chat room maybe watched that entire segment. I don't know.
I feel sorry for them if they did.
Well, I mean, you know, it's musical taste, man.
Yeah.
It's all. There could have been somebody that liked the music that they were playing up there, and that's completely fine. Music is such a subjective type of thing that it's just based on the person who's talking about it. But as far as game soundtracks go, as far as a soundtrack of the year type of contender, I look at that as if you ever watch the awards they give away for the movies and stuff, there's like best original song.
And then best score.
But then they do like best score, yes. I believe.
Yeah, best score.
But they do have two separate situations. Yeah. I'd be completely fine if they did that. But then again, there's not many games like what GTA is that gets released where they use so much music from outside sources.
I think Grand Theft Auto 3 did it best.
Yeah.
Where all of the radio stations were themed around real musical genres, but they were mostly comprised of parodies of that genre, of made-up songs. Dennis in the chat room brought up, you know, Push It to the Limit, which was very 80s themed. And it was good, and it fit GTA, because GTA is supposed to be, we're told, a warped funhouse mirror image of the real world, and the radio stations in Grand Theft Auto 3 reflected that.
Yes. Having real world songs,
right,
in a fake world.
I think it's
atmosphere.
Become less and less that as it's gone.
Well, okay.
Forward.
Saying that, let's look at our winners for our best score. And RJ, I'll start with you. If you've got, do you have a particular score from this year as far as music from a video game that you particularly enjoyed?
Score, music-wise.
I would be hard-pressed to pick score.
I'd be hard-pressed to pick just one.
I know. Mine would be a toss-up between...
I like the Tomb Raider. That one, you know, the music fit it very well. Of course, Last of Us. Everyone's going to, you know...
Mine's a toss-up between Last of Us and Arkham Origins. It's such a great soundtrack.
Yes.
God, that is such a great... The way that he mixed in... the fact that Arkham Origins takes place during Christmas, on Christmas Eve through into Christmas Day, and the way that they implemented things that you hear in Christmas songs and stuff into something that's for a Batman game. God, it was so good.
And it still had that feel of the original Danny Elfman.
I didn't get any of that feel.
You didn't think
I got a lot of the Arkham City feel from it, but I didn't get any of the Elfman score from the Burton era. No, I didn't get any of that. But here's the subjectiveness of music.
True.
So anyway, that's my pick. Jeremy?
Man, score I don't know. I would have to think and remember a lot more than I do right now. All I can say for sure is best soundtrack, which would, like I've already said, would be Bioshock Infinite for me.
Mm-hmm. Just because of the way that they did. And I agree, that's a great one as well. Just for what they did with the time period, but with the modern songs, and then having to do what they did to make those work in their setting, which is great and completely overlooked.
Couldn't you consider that also a score? Because even though they did have, you know, they did sort of like old-timey up some of the songs, they did instrumental versions of those, and that would make it, you know, kind of their own.
They did, but it's not fair for me to say it was the best one. I don't really remember anything else.
I would think, you know, if nothing else, maybe most original and like, because it sticks in your mind, you know, and that says a lot.
I remember I felt really good about the score to Thomas Was Alone.
I need to play that. Yeah, you brought it up twice now.
Yeah. And I'll leave it at that.
Mm. Well, Christmas is coming up. Maybe you can get it for me. Christmas Steam sale is coming up, so maybe you can get it for me. But anyway, Arkham Origins would work for me as a score. I look at anything that I went back and I was actually sought out the soundtrack of. And this year would be Last of Us and Arkham Origins. Those are two games that I actually sought the soundtrack for. Assassin's Creed 4, there is a certain track that's popping up whenever I'm in Nassau. Okay. And I don't know if it's specific to just Nassau, but that's where it pops up. It's where I hear it the most, and it's sticking with me, and it's like, I want to hear more of that, or I want to hear that again. And so one track alone doesn't do it, because there's so many great tracks in that Arkham Origins. I promise you, the Joker's theme in that alone is one of the best that they have, and they do grab a nice little classical piece, but it's Christmas based, and or at least it's played mostly at Christmas, and they use it during a fight, during a segment of that game, that would be considered spoiler if I told you about it, but just worked so well, just great. God, now I'm going back to the game of being, that's a really good game. It's a really fun game. It's a really fun game. You guys should check it out. So. Anyway, one of the things, a little show note here, and you probably saw us tweet about it, but we wanted to thank Sarah Glassman for the Christmas card that she sent to us. It actually came right here to the studio. We get a few Christmas cards from game developers. We got one last year from Adhesive Games, the guys who did Hawken, and we got one from Twisted Pixel. Twisted Pixel sends us a card every year. Those are a lot.
They're hilarious.
They're great. And we got one from Sarah this year. It is our first Christmas card from her. And inside the card was a $50 bill. No, it was not. It was a
what?
Inside the card was, I'm guessing she does this. If she's still in the chat room, is she still in the chat room?
Yeah.
She's still in there.
I see.
So she'll hear this. Inside the card was an origamied swan, mm-hmm. a very tiny, tiny origamied swan. So anyway,
nice.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. We do appreciate it.
Sarah's cool. I've met her.
That's how she knows us, obviously, is from you. So thank you, Matt, for introducing her to us. And
every now and then I get to meet cool people.
Thank you, Sarah, for the Christmas card. Anyway, that is going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream or on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at calliagamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group. Plus, there's a thread over on Gaff if they're back up. Have no idea if they are or not. But anyway, thanks, everybody. We will see you next Saturday. Have a great week.